Bonjour, Sam.
Bonjour, Rick. Comment ça va?
Ça va bien, et toi?
Très bien, merci.
Okay, that's good. That's all the French I know, Sam. So.
You did pretty well.
Thank you so much.
You're very convincing there.
You just got back from your European tour, is that correct? Or
I did, yeah.
How did that go?
Well, I'm still in one piece. So that's my measure of success.
All I saw was pictures of alcohol. Like, is there a lot of drinking?
Exactly.
What is it about Europe that you love?
That makes us booze so much.
Yeah.
In Spain, it's so you can cut through the ham that you've eaten.
That's weird.
Your diet consists essentially only of they call it jamón.
Jamón.
And you have to drink red wine to sort of help break it down.
Now, are you learning different languages, too, along the way here? Because you're talking to, a different crowd, I guess, with a lot of languages. Do they understand a lot of English, or they just sing along to the songs?
They do sing along. Not surprisingly enough, but they sing along. They're really into the shows, and they seem to know not just sort of the latest album, but when you pull songs out from a few records back, and they're still into it and still singing.
Yeah.
And then you speak to some of the people after the shows, especially not so much in, if you're playing in a capital city like Madrid or, Barcelona, but if you're, in some of these smaller towns, they don't speak much English, and so you're like, how is it that you don't speak English, but you know the words of the songs? And then you realize that, especially for, rock and roll music, that it's not really important whatsoever.
I guess music's like a universal language, hey?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's sort of, it establishes a bridge between you and people who live very far away and live, in some ways different lives, and in some ways it just sort of magnifies the fact that you're living very similar lives.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you're in Alberta, because we all speak a different language here.
What do you speak in Alberta?
Albertan, maybe? I don't know.
It's Albertan.
You were just here for, what was going on with the community food centers?
Yeah, we played a great show out in, whenever we get to Alberta, unfortunately, we don't get out into the ranch land enough. We end up in the major cities. Luckily, if we're lucky, we get to go out to the Rockies. But this was sort of in the foothills on a beautiful farm out there, and they were having an event to help raise money for the community food centers. We played in a barn. I mean, there was essentially no more Albertan, essentially Albertan experience than that. So it ended up being a great event.
And you had Alberta beef too, as well.
Of course. I think that's you have to, right? Yeah.
What is it like playing in a barn?
Well, it's strangely familiar in a weird way. It feels like the kind of rehearsal halls that you have to play in when you're an up and coming band and you can't find anywhere else to practice because it's too close to civilization. You find these sort of out of the way, broken down, beat up buildings. So in that sense, it was nice, and I think the livestock brings a certain maybe acoustic enhancement to the thing too.
Are you a horse rider? Like, did you actually go on any of these animals, or were you just there just to play music and that was
it? No, we didn't have enough time, unfortunately. But it's always you show up at the gig and they're like, man, if you just had another 6 hours, we would have taken you on an epic horse riding adventure. But unfortunately, it didn't work out that way.
I'd love to see you milk a cow, Sam.
Stranger things have happened, and I'm open to all kinds of experiences in this very short lifetime of ours, so you never know. Here's bad luck to milk a cow on a show day.
Is it? Is that a real
truth? No, that's not true.
Okay.
Do
you have any, is there any superstitions like that you have where, never on a show date that you're going to do this, or is there a routine that you guys go through before you take the stage, some sort of...
We listen to London Calling by The Clash at every show.
Every show? Really?
Yeah, that's kind of a, I guess, a bit of a superstition at this point.
Yeah. How long has that been a tradition for?
About 10 years now.
Wow. Just guys pumped you up, or is it?
Well, I think it started off as the song that got us all fired up, and now it's just, maybe if we don't play it, that the show won't go as well as it ought to. Hard to say. It's a bit of a chicken and the egg argument there.
Or back to the farm reference. I like this.
Exactly.
So you're going to be at the Jubilee Auditorium on November 15th. What's one thing about Edmonton that stands out for you?
Edmonton is a true rock and roll city.
Yeah.
And whenever we put our shows up on sale, Edmonton always comes out of the gates you know, leading the hardest and fastest charge. So, you know, it's just the relationship is deepened over the last 12 or 14, 15 years or so, ever since we did our first three-night stand with the hip at the Jubilee. So, you know, this is a sort of, it always feels like a bit of a homecoming, and especially a reconnection with those early days of the band and our first ever time, not just playing in Edmonton, but being in Edmonton.
Would you do that? I know the Hip are going on tour for the Fully and Completely tour. Would you do that, play an album front to back?
Like a We Were Born in a Flame?
Yeah, kind of reunion kind of thing or whatever.
Yeah, I think maybe down the line that would be something. I'd like to have a few more records under our belt, you know, before we start trying to delve too deep into the vault. You know?
Yeah.
Just try to feel like the next record that we make is the most important record that we'll ever make. I kind of feel like you have to stay connected to that mindset and that sense of urgency basically all the time. But I think at some point, hopefully, there'll be a little bit of time for reflection and looking back and celebrating the good things that have happened to us.
Now, talk to us about the Low Fantasy Tour. Is it just going to be a continuation of what you guys did in Europe, or will it just be a whole different thing that you're doing when you start off in Victoria?
No, it's going to be a different thing, for sure. I mean, we were playing in clubs in Europe. You know, now we have a chance to sort of spread our wings a little bit on the stage, and you know, we have a very different sort of visual component to the show that I think we're all really excited about. And,
I visualize this pyramid, you know, with the album cover being all about light and something.
Yeah,
like
and
that.
I think we're going to try to take that and translate it onto the stage, basically. And,
yeah.
Try to use visuals to capture the spirit of the music and the spirit of our band, and so we've been kind of planning and plotting that over the last few months. And, you know, we're going to go out to Victoria, B.C. before our first show a day or two early to see if the whole thing works. By the time we get to Edmonton, it ought to be a well-oiled machine at that point.
Yeah, for musicians and their tour and their production, when do you guys get to see everything? Because I bet you guys have a lot to do with what goes on stage visually, right? And when do you get to see the final product and then go, oh, that worked and that didn't work and all that?
It's usually after the tour is done. I don't like watching, you know, sort of YouTube videos of ourselves ever, basically, because I don't want to sort of think about what I'm doing on the stage and go, oh, this didn't work or this, you know, I don't like it when I do this or I like it when I do that. And I don't want to think about it, so I just choose to ignore it altogether. So oftentimes I'll get a glimpse of what one of our shows looks like and I have no idea. You know, I have no idea what the lights look like from the audience's perspective because you're sort of in it. You're surrounded by it. And so, yeah, it always catches me by surprise after the fact. I'm like, oh, man, that's what one of our shows looks like.
Is that true with musicians where they have no clue what's going on behind them and with the visuals? It's just your production team that's responsible for that?
Well, we're just a lot closer, you know, and as you get closer, you lose perspective, you know, or a sense of the bigger picture, for sure. So my relationship with a certain part of the lighting will be very different, you know, because every time I turn around to stare at the drummer and tell him to slow down or speed up, I get a blast of something. So I end up just closing my eyes or having to turn somewhere else. So no, I don't really get to. I feel it, but I don't see it.
And it must be fun playing the new album on stage, hey?
Yeah, this one's. You know, you never really know when you go into writing and recording a record whether it's going to translate onto the stage. And there have been some records that felt really great in the studio, and then we realized that there are only two or three or four tracks that we can really kind of pull off live with any sort of conviction. And I think the last couple of records specifically, you know, we can go in there and take any one of those songs and play it, and it feels right. And I think that's in large part because we sort of adjusted the way we record our records to being more representative of how we play live and actually tracking live off the floor. So it's not so much of a, you know, a shock to then get on stage. And
do you have a favorite song that you like to play live?
From the new record, I really like playing the song Angola because it's just sort of, it's constantly changing, you know, feel and texture. Starts off sort of quiet and then builds into something, and then just when you think it's gotten to where it's going, it turns into something else. So that's been one of the standouts for me, for sure. And the song Kid Icarus is always one that gets the crowd going. And then obviously when you play one of the singles, like We're All in This Together, and you see the crowd sort of come to life and take it to another another degree, then that always feels good. And kind of strategically try to place it in the set so that it, I guess, makes the biggest impact.